This volume has been graciously dedicated
by Mr. and Mrs. Benny and Joyce Westreich of Los Angeles, California, Le'iloi Nishmas, Harav Yehoshua ben Mireinu Harav Yosef Yoska Westreich, Zichrono Livracha, and his wife, Gittel Bazev Wolf Westreich, Aleh HaShalom, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Yoyetz Akiva ben Shimon Meir, Zichrono Livracha, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Avram Dov ben Akiva Yonison Unger, Zichrono Livracha, and Yibodel ben Chaim L'Chaim in the schus of Chana Ba Zecharia, Mrs. Susan Unger, may she have arichas yomim, with health, simchas, and nachas from her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, ad mea ve'esrim shana.
The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The daven in Masechet Kulin, Kuf Dalet, Yudav Kuf Zayin, deal with two very fundamental takanas derabbanan, which we meet up with very often in our daily life. The Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah is in Kuf Dalet, and so on and so forth. The Mishnah on Kuf Zayin deal with the takanas derabbanan, not only of not eating bona fide basal chol, which was cooked together, but not eating flesh, it was a milchik, in close proximity, not eating them together in the same meal or on the same table, and so on and so forth. And in the Gemara, as the Gemara is discussing washing one's hands between eating meat and milk, washing out one's mouth, the Gemara gets involved also in the different gedorim of Metilas Yodayim, a lot of different protein, Metilas Yodayim, Tvilas Yodayim, and so on and so forth. What I'd like to do, without getting involved in the nitty-gritty details, of course, it's a subject of much discussion, the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, which mostly, Agav in Aruch Chaim and Shulchan Aruch, come from these sugyas, and obviously the halachas of waiting 6 hours between bas and b'chol, what type of bas does one have to wait after, what type of cheese does one have to wait after, is it 6 hours, the different olgim, 3 hours, 5 hours, 5.5 hours, 6 hours, which minig has a proper source, which minig doesn't, which minig should one first follow, is the something which was only cooked in a flesh, you could probably have it in 6 hours. There's many different shalos to discuss. I mean, without getting involved, as I said, in the nitty gritty, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take somewhat of a bird's eye view at these two sugis, the sugya of Netilas Yadayim and the sugya of Hachokas, waiting between Basar and Cholov, and come to a deeper understanding, not only of these two inyanim of Netilas Yadayim and Basar and Cholov, but a deeper understanding of the role of Takanas Derabanan B'Klal. I think this is a very valuable lesson in understanding the depth of what Chazal did when they enacted various siyogim, safeguards, as Tosefos onto the Din of Deraisa in different areas of Torah. What I'd like to do is I'd like to start with the Machlokes the Rambam derived. The sugya in Chul Dav Kuf Vov is the sugya of Haras Yodayim, washing one's hands, is washing hands, is Tfilas Yodayim, putting one's hands in a spring in order to facilitate them eating, Takon Derabonon. The Gemara says clearly that the din of Taharas Yodayim, Netilas Yodayim, is a takona that Chazal instituted, we make a bracha on Netilas Yodayim, because it was necessary, there was a previous takona, to wash one's hands before eating truma. A Kohen is the only one who's allowed to eat truma. Before a Kohen eats truma, not only does he have to be Torah, he's not allowed to be Tamil Lemeis, Tamil Lesheret, Balzog, Balkeri, etc., etc., but he also, because the Gemara says the person touches things and doesn't realize what he touches, there was a separate takana derabanan to wash one's hands. Obviously, if one's tomei, a tumas meis can't wash his hands and literally wash his hands in the tumah. Doesn't work the way it has to be tumah in a proper mikvah called gufoi. But when there is no tumah, it's only a din derabanan, the tefillas yadayim, the tefillas yadayim works. The Rambam derived had a discussion whether the tefillas yadayim that works for chulin, that we're mechuyev to do every time we eat a bread meal, has exactly the same dinim as Netilas Yadayim for Truma. It was clear in the Gemara, the Gemara also in Saita, Netilas Yadayim for Truma, it was Mayim Rishonim, it was Mayim Shniyim. We're Rogel, when we wash our hands, and we take the washing cup, we fill it up, we pour once, and then we pour twice. We pour once, and we pour twice. That din actually exists by Truma. It's called Mayim Rishonim, and Mayim Rishonim, and Mayim Shniyim. The purpose of the first water is the somewhat, so to speak, to be toivel the hands, to be the tire of the hands, the tilas yadayim. The second purpose is that when the water, Chazal say, touched the hands of the person, the hands were, which were previously in a state of derabbanan diketumah. So the water touching the hands becomes tummy. One has to get rid of the tummy diket water by washing the second time. That's the purpose of mayim shneim. The nitzil sidayim is the mayim shneim. The siluk of the tumah of the water which touched his hands, not the hand itself, is, you say, not the tumah of the hand itself, but the tumah of the water on the hand, is performed with nitzilah shneim. The Rambam, the Rabbi, has a machlekes whether one is mechuyif to wash nitzilah sidayim of shneim of mayim shneim by nitzilah sidayim of chulin. The Biskarov in Soitin explaining this machlekes says as follows. We know the Chazal instituted Netil Sedayim by Chulin because by Truma Netil Sedayim was performed that way. So Chazal instituted by every time a person eats a bread meal of Chulin, he should also wash his hands. The Shaila is today institute the whole din, the same way one has to eat with Yadayim Tayyibos Truma. They institute that one has to eat with Yadayim Tayyibos Chulin, and therefore one not only has to be Noifel Yadayim Mayim Rishonim, but he also has to be Misalik, get rid of, remove the Tamei water from his hands. Well, no, there's no din to eat Chulin with Yadayim Tayyibos. Yadayim Tayyibos is a din to eat Truma with Yadayim Tayyibos. Same way a person is allowed to eat a bread meal if he's personally tummy, his hands are allowed to be tummy also. The purpose is only to do a mice of netilah in order to be patterned, in order to be ready, so to speak, for eating truma. So we also wash our hands every time we eat truma. Therefore, the mayim rishonim is the mice of netilah, which is the act itself of being the tire of the hands. The mayim shneim is just there to facilitate the dinim of tumah v'tayra, getting rid of the dove tummy on the hands. That we don't need bechut. So that's Machlokes the Rambam, the Rabbi. As you can see, most of us wash our hands twice. So you want to say that if one washes his hands with a full reviz, one doesn't have to wash his hands twice. In any case, Mashayotim Avorim is that the purpose of Nitzilah Sedayim is actually, the purpose of Nitzilah Sedayim is patterned on Truma. And the question almost begs itself. The question is, for the last 2,000 years, unfortunately, since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, or even after that, they were able to keep up eating Tumah V'Tayra until it ended its Tkufa of the Tanoim. But for the last, say, 1,800 years, we have not been eating Tumah. We are doing the takona of washing our hands every time a Yid sits down to eat a bread meal, he washes his hands and fills the night, because there might be somebody who's eating Tumah. So it's almost missing hasbara, almost missing explanation. That's one question. I think this should bother everybody. A takana b'rabbanan where the reason for the takana is almost not relevant in terms of history of the last 1,500 years, and still every single time we eat a bread meal, we wash our hands. What's the deeper meaning of this? This is a somewhat of a hashkofa question. I'd like to ask a similar question, but a question which is in a lomdish way. The Gemara says, in our studies also, that there's a takana at the end of the meal to wash my machreinim. Now the Gemara says that the reason why we wash my machreinim before benching by a bread meal is because of melach stoinis. In those days, it was very strong salt, and after a person would eat, his fingers would be dirty. Again, it's almost not relevant today because we eat with forks and knives. In those days, they used less utensils. Their fingers were somewhat dirtier at the end of the meal. There was more leftover food on their hands when they finish the meal than there is today. And a person might touch his eye and he might blind himself with his very strong sword. Tosfos, and it's Gepaskin Ramah in Arachayim in Hilchos Suda, before the Awak's benching, that Bizman Hazeh, there is no chiyuv of Mayim Achronim. Why? Because since the reason for the Takana is because of Melech Stainis, we don't have Melech Stainis today, so therefore the reason is Batal. As I stated in Ramah, now, there's a interesting question here. The Ramah paskins that when the Mechaber paskins that the Zechiv Melach, I'm sorry, the Zechiv Mayim Achronim even Bizman Hazeh. The Goyin explains in his sefer, Maaser Rav is a sefer that was put out by those who observed the Vilna Goyin in his personal life and wrote his Hanhogis in the sefer Maaser Rav. It's considered authoritative in terms of the Hanhogis of the Goyin, and there's been Purushim written to explain the different Minhogim of the Goyin, where they do not when they do not fit, would accept the halacha, what the Goyen held, what he argued on. The Goyen Rav Koicher to argue in many places on the accepted minhag when he felt that that was not the halacha. And one of the inyonim that they stressed in the Ma'aser Rav, B'Shem the Goyen, is that all takonis of Chazal, even when the reason, which is apparent, as far as we know, the reason that's given in the Gemara, it becomes not relevant, i.e., let's say, by Ma'aser Achroinim, the Goyen says, Chazal really had many reasons for being mistaken in different takonis. They were megala what they were megala. However, even if that reason becomes buckled, there might be 10 other reasons, 5 other reasons, whatever it is, for the takhamas kachamim. Therefore, one has to keep every takhamas kachamim. The Goyen says, there's a chiyuv this man has said, washing man akhredim. Even though the reason that the Gemara in the Gemara of Melchizedek no longer applies. Now, the obvious question is, so why did the Gemara say that reason? Let the Gemara say a reason that'll apply l'netzah. Why say over a reason which in future days will be obsolete? That's one question. Secondly, we know that our Mayim Rishonim, Natil Sadaim, we make a bracha. Shaykh the Shavu and Mitzvah and Sivanu al Natil Sadaim. On Mayim Achroinim, we don't make a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha? The question was posed to the Raibel, why the Raibel in the Tzivu, the Raibel, the great Rishon, who argues in many places on the Rambam. And it brings the shame one of the Gedolei Rishonim who lived in the mid 1100s, who was called Rabbi Yosef Ibn Plat, that was his name, lived in Provence, the part of southern France, which is right near the border with Spain. And he answered the Tshuva Sarayvin that the reason why we don't make a bracha is because since the reason that Chazal were Megala for Mayim Achroinim was because of Melech Stoimis, it's only because of Sakona. It's only there in order that a person shouldn't chalila touch his eyes and blind himself. Any mitzvah, any takana de rabbanon, which is only mishumas takana, one doesn't make a bracha. The classic question that I've been posed, what about the mitzvah say of makah, putting a fence around the terrace, says the reason why we put a makah around a roof is in order to that nobody should fall. We see over there, and over there we make a bracha. Shaykh the Shrug says it's ibanu. Alatsis makah. Why do we make a bracha if it's only mishumas takana? We're not going to get involved in that. But in any case, the question raises itself according to the Goyim, the way he explains the Shita of the Mechaber, the reason why Mayim Achronim is not given Bizman Azeh is because there are many other reasons that Chazal were not Megala. So how do you say the reason why we don't make a bracha is because the reason that they were Megala is Mifeas HaKonim. There are many other reasons which are not Mishumas HaKonim. Why don't we make a bracha for any numerous reasons for the Takonis Chacham? Since we know that Chazal had many reasons behind their Takonis, why don't we make a bracha because of all those reasons, even if they weren't Mizgal? I believe that these two questions answer each other. A, why would Chazal Taka only Mizgal of that reason? B, how can we say we don't make a bracha because of the reason Chazal and Mizgal? The Teretz is, if Chazal and Mizgal of that reason, that means that the halakhic definition of that mitzvah has something to do with the reason that was Nizgala. And even the reasons that Chazal weren't Nizgala are only a deeper, Chazal didn't have 10 different reasons, all sorts of different disparate reasons. Chazal had different levels of understanding, some of which they were Nizgala, some of which they weren't Nizgala. And for every reason that they were Nizgala, there's a deeper level of existence, there's a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of explanation, which is really only a deeper meaning of the reason that they were Megalas. Chazal said that the reason for Mayim Achronim is Mishum Asakono. That means that even on a deeper level, which is the reason why we wash Mayim Achronim as Man Azeh, is because Chazal had other reasons. Those other reasons are not other reasons. They're just deeper giluyim of the same idea that there is a Sakono. What does this mean? Sakana l'chori is a simple physical fact that one has salt on his eyes, which could blind the person, he could touch his eyes. What does this have to do with any deeper reasons? So I'd like to share with you the Sifri in Parshas Kedoshim, the Kedoshim Tiyu, which is the Parsha where the Torah tells us to perpetuate, to work on our Madregan and Yoni Kedusha. And the Torah lists all 50-60 different lavin. The end of Parshas Kedoshim is the Pasha of Arayis, all the different Arayis, which is the Ikur of Binyoni Kedusha, Binyoni Arayis. Over there is a pasuk, the end of Pasha's Kedushim, Viskadashtem Biyisim Kedushim. You will sanctify yourself, means that practically you will take steps to raise up your level of Kedusha, v'hi yisem, you will become Kodosh ani Hashem. You will become, by taking steps to perpetuate your Madrega, to upgrade your level of Kedusha in your personal life, you will become Kodosh. You will achieve the status of being Kodosh, and there's a mitzvah of Kedusha, ki ani Hashem. What does this mean? Viskadashtem v'yisem Kedoshim. The Sifri, the Medrash, on Parashas Kedoshim says, Viskadashtem mayim rishonim, zu mayim rishonim, v'yisem Kedoshim, zu mayim achronim. Nu hizgalus. Chazal are telling us that washing mayim achronim at the end of a meal is an expression of Kedusha. It's not a matter of sakona. The Gemara is telling us one thing, the Medrash is telling us something else. And why, if one washes his hand, does he upgrade his level of Kedusha? Ravolva Zatzal, the great Bal Musa, in his classic Sefer Alei Shur, expresses a very powerful idea on this Medrash. And it shares with us a concept that any time a person, theoretically a person could be oistik, could fast his whole life, could be completely removed from Yonei Gashmias, you can have no shaykhis to food, drink, parnasa, clothing, marriage. He could be totally removed from all in yonei haguf. But that's not the total way. There might be other societies that believe that the way to kedusha, the way to sanctity, is by abstaining from living on dry bread and stale water, and abstaining from all. And yonim to have any shaykhs with the group, that is not the Torah approach. The Torah approach is to take all in yonim agul and to lift it into the realm of Kedusha by using it for a higher purpose. This is a famous concept that the Christians struggle with, the Muslims struggle with. The only ones that have got it right after all these centuries is the classic approach of the thinkers of Klal Yisrael, who explain to us, they explain again, because it's so important as a basic keystone in Yiddishkeit, that the idea behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us into this world is to use all of the inyanim, in other words, every inyan that there is in a person's physical needs, a person's physical senses, all inyanim that cause a person's physical pleasure, to use everything about his physical self to lift himself closer to the Rishonim. When a person eats, he's supposed to eat in order to facilitate his serving Hashem. A person doesn't eat because of gastronomic pleasures. The Rebbeinu Shlom created those gastronomic pleasures in order to facilitate the experience of eating, but that experience is supposed to bring him closer to Hashem, because when he's eating, he's serving Hashem by preparing himself to have more koyach, more energy, to serve Hashem further with a stronger, more fortified guf. But since a person is being oisik min yonei aguf, there is a sakona, so to speak, conceptually there is a sakona, that when a person somewhat leaves the lofty mountain of thought, the lofty mountain of idealism, and a person descends, so to speak, into this world to be oisik in yonei aguf, most notably food, that one will lose somewhat the touch of ultimate idealism, ultimate ruchnis. The Torah said, the Chazal said, let's take precautions to protect ourselves when we are oisik in yonei aguf. When we're oisik in yonei aguf, before we eat, viskadashtem, take steps to protect yourself. What are the steps? Remember that you, as a yid, every single member of Klal Yisrael, the Torah calls mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh. We discussed this in the first year of Chulin, that's why Chulin is part of the Seches of Seder Kodshim, because shechting an animal is an expression of the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Whenever a yid sits down to a bread meal, whenever he's kaveh a suda, what he's doing is he's preparing for the opportunity of expressing his membership, his loyalty to the ideal of Asim Tiyuli. Mamlech is kind of a kaddish. Everything about a yid is kaddish. Everything about a yid is an opportunity and has kedusha, and has opportunity to create more kedusha. When a person sits down in order to show that he's like a kohen, he's a member of the nation of Kohanim, the nation of priests, what he does is he eats his bread meal the way a Kohen would eat Truma when he's close to the Beis HaMikdash. The same way a Kohen washes his hands before he eats Truma every year, as soon as he sits down to a bread meal, washes his hands in order to express the fact that he too is a Kohen. He's not a Kohen in terms of eating Truma, but he's a Kohen in terms of having an opportunity to come close to Hashem. Batem Tiyuli Mamlech Eskhenu Begoy Kodesh. The Sifri said, and after a person finishes eating, And hopefully the food was tasty. And he enjoyed the experience of eating Hashem, made the food pleasurable. In order to give a Yid pleasure, the Rebbeinu Shem wants us to enjoy this world. But since a person enjoyed Olam Hazeh, there's a sakana that a person will get caught up with the experience of how the roast beef tastes. The person will get caught up with the experience of how the dinner tasted, how the dessert tasted. Before he leaves the table of a meal, he washes Mayim Achrayim in order to rid himself of any excess pleasure that he had. Not to rid himself of the pleasure, but to rid himself of any degradation of sense of self, of his idealism. And what it means to be an Yid, he washes another time. This Kadashnim, the Yisim Kadashim, Mayim Rishonim, is Truma. And that's why we make a bracha, because it's a Maisa Mitzvah, he uplifts himself. The washing before the end of the meal is a sakana. This is a sakana that a person has lost some of his madrega because he's dug into a hearty appetite, into a pleasurable meal. If he's been sakana, then he has to wash to get rid of that residue, to get rid of that extra excess gashmias. If that's the case, then Mayim Achronim is kula mifnei sakana. The reason that Chazal and Megala was Mifnei Melech saying this, but on a deeper level, one could be blinded by the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. It's not only Melech Sedeim is that blind on a physical level. One could be blinded to the truth, to the ultimate idealism of the purpose of creation, the purpose of his existence, by indulging in the pleasures that Olam Hazeh offers him. So one washes his hands before the end of the meal in order to get rid of that excess in being involved in the pleasure, which does not bring closer to Hashem. One gets rid of that, and because it's only a sakon, it's only to get rid of something. It's not there in order to be Mekayim HaMitzvah. It's only there to get rid of something which will stop him from being Mekayim HaMitzvah. There's no bracha. That's the deeper level behind the reason of Melech Sedeim. So we've taken a deeper look in the Til Sinaim, and we've seen that the Til Sinaim is not just a takana because of Truma. We've seen that it's an expression of the very existence of what one is doing, when the very reason for his existence and the very reason of washing his hands is in order to facilitate that the eating experience should be one that brings a person close to Hashem and not further away. This is so powerful, this depth in what a takon of chacham can do for us, if we understand what the sugyas are telling us. With that, I'd like to go into the sugya of basam mechol. The other takon that Chazal discussed, it means daf tarichus, is the takon of waiting between meat and milk. Not only not cooking basam mechol, not only not eating basam mechol, but even not eating them together, even if they're not cooked, and even waiting between the two. There's a very interesting gemara on daf kuvzayin. I'm sorry, the Gemara is on Daf Kufay. The middle of Kufay Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us in the name of the Amori Marukva, when Marukva wanted to express his Madrega here in Shemayim, in close to Hashem, in Gadlus, vis-a-vis his father, who he considered greater than himself, called himself Vinegar the Son of Wine, Chola Ben Chamba. When Marukva wanted to express the difference between him and his father, he said that he only waits basam b'cholov ben suda l'suda, and his father waits for basam, who used to, after he ate basar, would wait a full 24 hours before eating milkings. Our custom of waiting between meal and meal. Now, what does it mean between meal and meal? Here we have makhlokes. Rishonim Tosfos hold, some of the Rishonim hold that between meal and meal means literally, after one finishes a meal, one could right away eat milkings. And some hold, and this is the way most of us are knowing, that between basam and cholov, the Shulchan Aruch says to wait 6 hours, because some Rishonim hold doesn't mean physically to wait between two meals. What it means is to wait 6 hours, which is the time that normally passes in those days between meal and meal, and that's where the meaning of 6 hours comes from. And there are many nafkaminis between these two. We'll just speak out one place where it comes up. The famous place where Hilchos Basam Cholov is discussed in Shulchan Aruch El Chayim is on Shavuos. There's a minute to eat the Suda in the morning of Shavuos to have Basar and Cholov in the same Suda. Why is that? Because the Shavuos, there was a Korban of Shtei Alechem, there was a minute to have two separate Sudas without benching. How would one do that? One would eat Melechit, one would wash out their mouth, change the tablecloth, bring a different loaf of bread, and continuing eating fleishiks. According to the Rishonim that hold that one cannot eat basam b'chol together in the same meal, then that would be awesome. be also to eat basa b'chol in the same meal, it doesn't make a difference if one ate basa before chol or before basa. If you hold that there is no din per se of su'udu, but there's only a din of waiting a certain amount of time, the waiting of a certain amount of time is only after basa before chol. Masha'en came after chol, before basa, one would be allowed to eat. So the accepted custom, the Ramah, you know, the Chaim says that this is the meaning, others today don't follow this meaning, but it's an old established meaning. I will get back to Hashem in a few minutes, to what Shavuot specifically has to do with an emphasis on basa b'chol. What I'd like to do is just point out, what's interesting is, basa b'chol is almost the mainstay of a kosher kitchen. Discussed in previous year, shalas and shrotzen and nevelas and traders are really secondary, but what we grow up with, the discipline of eating as a Torah Jew is very much, are we fleshes, are we militants, did we wait enough time, did we not wait enough time? The whole layout of a kosher kitchen is the strict separation between militants and fleshes, which again is not in their eyes. Using a fleshig spoon for milchigs and a milchig spoon for fleshigs, even if it's half, is only midrabban. That's not called bishul basa b'chol. It's not achilas basa b'chol deraisa. We avoid any mix between basa b'chol. This is all part of the takana that we're discussing. So it would seem that this takana is not just an extra step in avoiding bishul basa b'chol and avoiding achilas basa b'chol, but Chazal used the mitzvah of basa b'chol and they broadened the scope. They broaden the horizons of the mitzvah of the love of basa b'chol, so to speak, to turn into a whole way of life of a kosher eating Jew. A kosher eating Jew is primarily expressed in his adherence to the laws of basa b'chol. This needs some type of explanation. Why is basa b'chol the expression of a kosher lifestyle, and why did Mar Ukva use as an expression of his madrega in closeness to Hashem in Yerushalayim, his madrega, as opposed to his father's madrega, he used the example of how medactic they were in the halachas of basa b'chol. Here also there's a very powerful lesson to be learned in the deeper understanding of the Takmanis of Chazal. It's very interesting. Reb Chaim Vital, the great Mekubal, the Talmud of Darizal, tells us in the shame of his Rebbe, the shame of his Rebbe Darizal, that there are 365 days of the year. Every day corresponds al pi kabbalah to one laf. In a few places, he tells us which day corresponds to which laf. Tisha B'av corresponds to Gid Anosha. We spoke about that a few shiurim ago in the beginning of Perek Gid Anosha. One of the fascinating pieces there, Chaim Vital says that the reason why we eat milchigs and fleishigs together on Shavuos, famous custom of eating cheese delicacies, of eating milchigs on Shavuos, is because there are many reasons that are given. Chaim Vital says because the lav of basa b'chol corresponds to the day of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Why is this? What is the deeper meaning of basa b'chol that expresses itself in the day of Maimon HaSinai, the day the Torah, the whole Torah, was given to Klal Yisrael? Reb Shamshon Fol Hirsch in his Pirush on Parashas Mishpatim explains that the idea behind basa b'chol, he says, it's not the same thing as other makolos asuris. The Torah says certain foods are also because they're not good for us in a spiritual sense. If it comes to Misalev, all makolos asuris are not good for us, and we can't understand these things, but the Torah tells us that these things are cause us harm, cause us spiritual harm, then the tamtam, our ability to connect with Ruchnias, to connect with our Neshama, to connect with Kedusha, and the Torah says, therefore, we avoid them. Basa b'chol, there's nothing wrong with basa, there's nothing wrong with cholov. What he explains is that there's a very powerful idea at work in basa b'chol. He points to the structure of an animal. Every animal, if you look at an animal, a cow, standing on the ground, an animal does not stand upright. His head is in the front, his tail is in the back, and in between is all the parts of the cow. In every living creature, in every animal, he explains there's different parts of the animal. There's the part of the animal that's for locomotion, that moves, which is the meat, the muscles, the bones of the animal. And there's the part of the animal that reproduces, that reproduces itself, that feeds itself. And that's something that a plant has as well. There's a plant part. We know that in the world, there's something called a tzemer, there's something called a chai, and a person is above that. Tzemer and chai are two different levels of existence. The plant world and the animal world are a different level of sophistication. An animal has in it a plant part also. What's plant? A plant also reproduces, and it feeds itself, it needs nourishment, and it reproduces. That is the, so to speak, the represented in an animal by the milk. The milk is what feeds its young, and the milk is what represents in an animal his food. That's what the young animal drinks, is the milk of the mother before he moves on to other foods. And the reproduction, because the only way to feed its young is from the milk of the mother. The meat of an animal stands or represents the more advanced part of an animal, which a plant doesn't have. The meat of an animal is the part that makes it run, that makes it come, that makes it go. Its reaction, the fact that it's a live creature, it's a chai. It's not just etzemech, it's not just alive, but it's a creature that experiences life. Says Rabbi Hirsch, whenever a yid sits down by his table, if he would mix basar v'chalav together, what he'd be doing is he'd be taking all the parts of an animal and he'd be eating it all together. The structure of a person is not like an animal. The structure of a person is his head is upright towards the Shemayim, his legs are on the ground. Every part of a person is there to service the part above him. His feet are there to carry him to where he has to go for his physical needs. His physical needs are only there in order to facilitate his emotional needs, which is his heart, which is above his stomach. His heart is only there in order to be able to use intelligently, which is his throat, his kayak and deeper, and ultimately his seichel, his mind. And ultimately above that is neshama, which is connected to kisekav, which is why a person has a surah of an upright. The only live creature that walks around upright is a person. Because that's what he is. The part of him that's above is connected to the Shemayim, and the part of him that's below is connected to this world. And that's the surah of a person. So whenever a person partakes of the animal kingdom, in order not to enter the animal kingdom, not to ingest in himself that which will turn him into an animal, he has to be very careful to keep the parts of basar, the parts of chalav separate, in order not to make a taruvus in himself of what an animal is. An animal, everything is mixed up, everything is just flat. And a person, everything has its tzura. Everything is there in order to facilitate climbing ever upwards until he returns to Hashem, which is above his head, which is in Shemayim. In any case, to make a long story short, Rabbi Hirsch says that this is the idea behind basar v'chalav. We understand that there is no better day of the year to facilitate this lesson than the day of Shavuot. The day that a yid gets the Torah, the day that a yid becomes the day that he becomes a creature of eternity, he's not just a member of the animal kingdom. The famous line, somebody was sitting on a plane eating his kosher meal, and somebody, a non-Jewish woman, turned to him, sitting next to him, and said, "I don't eat other animals." So he answered her, "If you consider yourself one of the animals, then you're right, you'd be wrong to eat another animal. But if you consider yourself above, then you understand that an animal is not you, and it's the honor of the animal to have the opportunity to serve you in order to facilitate your growing greater." The day which takes a person out of the realm of the physical world and turns him into a creature of eternity, into a person who's connected with his neshama, connected with the Kisei Kavod, connected ultimately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the purpose and the focus of his existence, is the day of Shavuos. And the lav, which is represented, and the Yom Tov of Shavuos, is the lav of Basar V'Chalav, and Rav Chaim Vital says, that's why on Shavuos is an Indian to commemorate Achilas Basar V'Chalav. Let's go back. Now we understand why Maruchim used the example of Hachofes Basar from Cholav to represent the level of Yerushalayim. Of course we do. Yerushalayim is a matter of how much a person's focus is on Dvarim Ruchniyim and how much he understands that Yoni HaGuf, Dvarim Gashmiyim, is a tofel, is a subsidiary, is only there to service, to fuel, to energize his spiritual strivings. Separating basar from chalav is the best example in a practical way of a person separating those parts of himself which would schlep him lower, which would bring him down and take away his focus on what's important. The reason why Chazal made such a dogish, such an emphasis on a strict separation of basar from chalav is because the love of basar from chalav is a representation of what a human being is supposed to be. It's a whole different basar from chalav now. It's a whole different perek basim kol. It's a whole different perek kol abasim. It's a whole different expression of what it means. As soon as our children are old enough to become mechunachim, we tell them, put this spoon in this thing, put that spoon in that thing. No, now we're not eating milchis because we're fleishiks. Now we're not eating fleishiks because we're in the middle of a milchik meal. All that facilitates raising our children, raising ourselves to the level of where we become atav katan mikolamim people, where we facilitate our growth as people that are v'atim tiyumim amrachas kain of the great kodesh. These ideas should not only be in the realm of ideas, but they should, with the institution of the Mishil Sedayim, the Chazal's takana of Hakokas possible kolam, they should become part of our focus, part of our consciousness, till everything we do is permeated with these ideas. Amen. Ken yirok.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.